And later, at the, near the end of our service, before our closing hymn, my wife and I will read a one-sentence tribute to mothers. And so if you would just put, again, one short sentence, we will not get to all of them, but if you would like, and again, you don't have to, but if you would like to write a tribute to your mother, one sentence, just put it on a blue card anytime during the service, and near the end of the service, I'll ask for those blue cards, and you'll pass them to the toward the middle, and we'll have a couple of deacons come and pick those up, and my wife will read, do what we can to read them. And so write them legibly, and just one sentence, though, short sentence, tribute to your mother as part of this morning's service. And with that, we're going to begin. Today is a special time to honor mothers, as well as to include in it some biblical encouragement and admonition in your work as mothers. And certainly all of us will benefit, children, to women who are not mothers, to the all the others who are not mentioned in that statement, and that is the men. God has a blessing for us in this. So I'm going to ask James to read a poem to begin. I want to thank Joyce for helping put this together. And James is going to read a poem by Joanna Fuchs entitled Mother's Prayer.
Dear Lord, today we pray for mothers, our own mothers, and mothers everywhere, who have made such a major contribution to the good qualities we have, sometimes through genetics, more often through great effort and patient instruction, and who have done their best to gently polish away our rough edges. Lord, please bless our mothers for the endless hours of time they spent and the boundless energy they invested in us. Bless our mothers for their sacrifices on our behalf as they often gave up or deferred their own dreams so that we could have ours. Bless our mothers for always being there for us, for being the person we know we can turn to when we need comfort, encouragement, or just a hug. Bless our mothers for making a home for us where we could feel safe, where we felt we belonged. Most of all, Lord, bless our mothers for their unconditional love, for loving us no matter what, and for frequently showing love in ways that make us feel valued and cherished. Lord, please bless our mothers mightily. Strengthen them, soothe them, wrap them in your infinite love, and shower them with blessings too numerous to count, too magnificent to describe. We love them, admire them, respect them, and we wish that you would give them back many times the good they gave us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So we're going to read First Eve, just a few verses from Eve. This is from Genesis chapter 2 and 3, not the whole passage, but selected verses. And Ashlyn's going to read that for us this morning.
Genesis 2, 3. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Sometime later, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. The Lord God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
Thank you, Ashlyn. There is a lot in that passage. A lot of history in one small story. But I want to make a couple of highlights this morning. First is, never underestimate the power and importance of your influence. Mothers, especially this morning, but all of us can take a lesson from Eve's influence. The world may turn, and some decision that seems small and insignificant may be the turning point of much greater realities. Eve's first careless act in the garden led to a costly tragedy that we know all too well. And a tragedy that Eve could never, ever have imagined. However, in the midst of Eve's failure is nestled the first glorious promise of a Redeemer, that her seed would crush the head of the serpent. So yes, Eve upholds to us a lesson about the importance of our influence and our decisions. But in the midst of that reminds us that even when we find ourselves dealing with the consequences of a bad decision, that God provides grace. Amen? In fact, Eve is the first woman to receive a promise from God. So encouragement from Eve this morning to consider our influence from the mother of all humankind. And secondly, to remember that in the midst of our struggles, God offers us the promise of His presence and His strength. Our next one is by Karen. And Karen is here. Would you raise your hand, Karen, so Robbie can get the mic to you? And she's right here. She'll be reading to us about Sarah. Sarah is called the mother of nations. And she holds valuable lessons for us this morning.
Genesis 17, 18, and 20. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. King of people shall be from her." And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. Then you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year." Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. So Abram hurried into the tents to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make it cakes." After they ate, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why does Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child, since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Sometime later, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him.
What a story. Second mother this morning, Sarah. Can you imagine grandmothers? Maybe you would not want that visit under the trees. Sarah gives birth to a son of promise and becomes the mother of nations. Sarah's life reminds us that God's saving work on earth requires the faithful trust of mothers, of women. For those women in a special way today, mothers who put their trust in God, He is able to do above and beyond what our circumstances or opportunities allow. in order to carry out his gracious plan. Sarah's life bears witness that no matter how limiting your circumstances may be, God is not limited by them. Amen? So you may have raised your family, and they've left the nest. You have no control over their decisions, but you have not lost the power of God. Because if you trust in the God of heaven, he's able to do what you can no longer do. Or maybe you're a woman like Sarah who is barren. God is a great God, and he may have plans in mind for you. Maybe you're a woman at a job facing a difficult circumstance. The God of Abraham is with you just the same as the God of Sarah and Abraham was in their day. So remember, Sarah is not only the mother of nations, but according to Peter, Sarah is the mother of all those who honor God. Specifically, Peter says, of all the women who honor God. Our next one, and then we're going to have a special number, is Jochebed. And Aliona is going to read that for us. She's here. Aliona is going to read about Jochebed, the mother of Moses. And this is from Exodus chapter 2.
And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, doused it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, a baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water."
Another amazing story, Jochebed. Can you imagine being in Jochebed's shoes? Moses can't be quieted anymore. Moses can't be hidden anymore. Perhaps the neighbors will squeal, jealous that their children have been killed and your son is still living. What are you going to do? Jochebed builds that boat. She didn't throw her boy into the river, but she just about did. Can you imagine setting your child afloat among crocodiles and hippos? In the blazing Egyptian sun on the Nile River, with all the risks that would entail, not including the risk of some human being finding the child and finishing him off. Brave mother Jochebed was, and I think Jochebed's bravery reminds mothers and the rest of us today that faithfulness in a time of great crisis becomes a thread in the tapestry of God's providence, of God's deliverance. Jochebed, we don't know about her beginning. We know she was from the tribe of Levi. We don't know what happened to her much after that. There's no long story about Jochebed. But Jochebed's heritage and footprint is left in history because of her bravery and faithfulness in raising young Moses. Ladies, remember that God is beside you at the darkest of hours. And when you bravely trust him, he will always come through as he did for Jochebed. And your life, though insignificant as it may appear, will become a thread in God's great tapestry of divine providence. Susanna Wesley was one of those mothers. She was born in 1669, married at the age of 19, and she was number 25 of 25 children. She herself had 17 children. Mothers, it might give you an appreciation for motherhood in a new way. She is said to have given each one of them a special attention each day and training, or one day of special attention and training each month. So one day out of the month, one child, special focus, special training, 17 children. That would be quite the school. You would just have a school as well as a factory and whatever else. You'd have your own little company there with those children. From John's writings, we know that both he and Brother Charles viewed their mother as a vital source of inspiration and encouragement through their ministries. Charles Ludwig wrote about her, "Although she never preached a sermon or published a book or founded a church, she is known as the mother of Methodism." Why? Because two of her sons, John and Charles Wesley, as children consciously or unconsciously will, applied the example and teachings and circumstances of their home life. Susanna had this prayer: "You, O Lord, have called us to watch and pray. Therefore, whatever may be the sin against which we pray, make us careful to watch against it, and so have reason to expect that our prayers will be answered. In order to perform this duty aright, grant us grace to preserve a sober, equal temper and sincerity to pray for your assistance. Amen." Prayer of Susanna Wesley. We have a special song, Gift of Love, the Gift of Love this morning. Gina and Paula will sing The Gift of Love, a song for mothers. Thank you, ladies, for that reminder of love's importance. Our next character, three from the New Testament, three ladies from the New Testament. The first one is Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. And Chelsea's going to read that for us. Mother of John the Baptist, and Ronnie's going to get that microphone to you. Elizabeth, Luke chapter 1.
Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me, in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped into her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped into my womb of joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told from the Lord."
Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. First woman we read about in the New Testament, at least talking about for lessons this morning. Elizabeth was an incredible encouragement to young Mary. Mary is giving birth to her first child. She's also giving birth under remarkably unique circumstances that bring her into social disrepute. For Mary, Elizabeth's encouragement must have made a world of difference. So today, mothers, your life and example may serve as an anchor point for those mothers around you, those children around you, those men around you. Consider the power of the moment where you, like Elizabeth, may extend a word of encouragement, a word of counsel to buoy up the faith and inspire the courage of someone who may be facing a crisis, someone who may be struggling in faith, someone who may just need that one more piece of encouragement to hang on. Who knows? But that your kind, caring influence may be felt around the world and even into eternity. Our words matter, as did Elizabeth's. You and I can make a life-changing difference, and mothers especially, you can make a life-changing difference in other women's lives as you offer your encouragement, as you offer your presence, support, and counsel to those around you. Linda's going to read to us, Linda Job is going to read to us from Luke chapter 1 about Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Luke 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have not known a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will call upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
What faith Mary manifests. She knew what it meant when the angel said she was going to have a child before she was married. She knew what that meant in the social climate in which she lived. But Mary's willing response was, May it be to me according to God's will. You know, we talked about Eve first and how Eve, in one careless moment, plunged our world into the place we are today. In stark contrast stands Mary's faith, who did face the challenges of her society, and yet in the face of those challenges, in face of that difficulty, Mary said, God, your will be done in my life. One woman's thoughtless act turned the world into a sea of evil, yet the childlike faith of Mary played a vital part in its restoration. So you mothers can play a vital part in God's work as you exercise the trusting, simple faith of Mary in a God with whom nothing is impossible. Our last story is the story of Eunice and Lois. We know very little about these two New Testament women, but they also played a significant role in the development of the church. Our last reading is by Florence Mofuco from 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is the mother and grandmother of Timothy.
I thank God, who I serve with a pure conscience as my forefather did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Gently desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Remarkable story here. Not the only story of generational influence in Scripture, but one of them. Grandmother Lois influenced her daughter Eunice. And Eunice's faithfulness influenced the life of her young son Timothy. And growing up, he bought into the faith of his grandmother and his mother, and Timothy's ministry was the product of two faithful mothers. Faithful grandmother as well. Mothers, remember, your spiritual influence does not end when your children walk out of the home. Mothers with young children, remember, your spiritual success, the spiritual success of your children depends on the faithfulness in your life to God. Few great spiritual leaders have arisen from homes of unbelief or been raised by mothers who do not believe. Like Susanna Wesley, mothers of today, and like Lois and Eunice, mothers of today can raise children of faith as you bring to bear the prayerful influence of the Spirit in your home to mold those minds into the mind of Jesus. That you, by your influence, may be part of making tomorrow's world changers and establishing great leaders like Timothy or John and Charles Wesley, or, and you might add to that list, any number of men and women who have changed the world because of a faithful grandmother, a faithful mother, or a faithful aunt, or a faithful adopted mother, or faithful wife. Women have influence. Remember your influence and use it to the glory of God. Finally, my son is going to read for us from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 25 to 31. And Gabe, you can stand here and we don't have to hold it. Here, stand on the stairs so we can see you.
Go. Strength and honor all her clothing. See, she'll rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of
idleness.
Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is
deceitful,
and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate.
Thank you, Gabe. And Abigail, you know we're leaving soon, so I included the whole family this morning. Abigail is going to sing for us a song based on those words in Proverbs 31. It's called A Woman Worthy. After this song, the deacons are going to come down the aisle and pick up that one-sentence tribute to your mother. So if you've written a one-sentence tribute, pass it to the inside aisle, and those will be picked up, and then we will crown our service with sharing those brief tributes. So pass them to the aisle during the music if you're finished, and then the deacons will come to pick them up.
Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. She is a woman of true strength. She gives no thought to growing old. And when she speaks, her words are wise. Her love for others never grows cold. Charm and loveliness go fast. First they're here and soon they're past. But she who lives for God, she who lives for God, has a special kind of beauty that will last. Her children hold her with respect. Her husband praises all her deeds. Her God she honors with her life, and sets her ways wherever he leads. Charm and loveliness go fast. First they're here and soon they're past. But she who lives for God, she who lives for God, has a special kind of beauty. Has a special kind of beauty that will last.
Amen. A special kind of beauty that will last was what we saw in those women, whose lives inspire us, all of us, and especially mothers this morning, to be faithful to God. Well, you have a tribute, so deacons, if you could come forward. We'll have one on this side, and then one down the middle, and then one over here. Pass those tributes to the middle, and they will be collected and brought forward, and we will read them. In fact, we'll begin while they're gathering them. I pray and thank my mom for raising me as normal as possible when I was born with cerebral palsy and having me loving me unconditionally, and for not listening to the doctor in putting me in an institution and forgetting about me. Special tribute to a special mother.
My mother hasn't been with us for several years, but I remember she taught me my first prayer in German. I still can give it to Jesus. I don't know very much German anymore, Charlotte.
Mothers, a blessing for the life they give, they gave, the love they give, the laughter to come, the passing we cannot avoid, but the coming return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So hope to see mothers again.
Thank you for all the years of love.
My mother taught me about God through her quiet and gentle example.
Thank you, Mom, for your unconditional love, no matter my attitude or actions.
Our mama was the kindest lady you would ever know. She loved God first and thought and taught us to as well.
Thank you, Mom, for being a faithful example, even though it was hard to bring up six children in a tiny church with no other children. Joyce.
8,000 miles away, but we are together in spirit. Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
My mother laughed a lot. Her mother and mother-in-law taught her how to love Daddy and all of us. I'm truly blessed by her.
She loves me.
My mother in Israel taught me unconditional love and loves and laughs with me in a way my own mother never could. I am grateful for my mother in Israel, Paula Curry.
Thank you, Mom, for teaching me to love and serve God and be a blessing to others in every way, every day.
I praise God for a mother who has always found her greatest joy in being a mother, and I'm forever grateful to her for modeling to me the loving gift of motherhood, Veronica.
Her selfless care for her children as an example, and her unconditional love, which demonstrated that same love we have from God.
I thank my mom for not giving up and for unconditional love.
My mother always planned ahead for my future.
My mother is the one I turn to when I need advice, when I need someone to talk to, laugh with, or even be with. I will always love her.
My mom does what she can for me.
I love you and respect you for bringing me to life, and I forgive you your trespasses and shall see you again when Jesus comes again.
Thank you for raising me closer to God.
We thank you for being there for us every day. May God bless you always. To Alice and Marina from the Mofuko family.
Special tributes, and certainly there are more tributes that would come if we had the time. But let's have a special prayer today. Mothers, would you stand? Don't have to come forward, but just stand. We're going to have a special prayer for you. And so if you're beside this mother, would you come close to them as we pray together? And as I pray, would you say a special prayer for them of God's blessing? Father, thank you so much for this reminder of these six women who leave such a legacy in Scripture. Their mistakes teach us faithfulness. Their courage teaches faithfulness. And today we're praying especially for mothers. I'm praying, and those standing beside these mothers are praying for them. Grant them special courage that they might be faithful to you. Give them wisdom in those difficult decisions. Grant them your presence and strength each day to live for you with that willing heart of Mary. And for the rest of us here who have been challenged and encouraged by the stories of these mothers, may you help us too to uphold their faith, to stand beside them, and ourselves to be faithful as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn, I'm almost certain you have never sung. It is entitled, I didn't put it down. It's entitled Mother's Love. But the good thing is you probably know the tune. It is the tune Sweet Hour of Prayer. You will need the words on the screen, but the tune is Sweet Hour of Prayer. If you want to look the tune up in your hymnals, you can do that. But the words on the screen, Mother's Love, to the tune of Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's stand together. We'll sing this final hymn. With that, I would just remind the mothers that there's a special gift for you right inside our fellowship hall, as well as a tasty lunch. So all are welcome to join us, and mothers, don't forget the gift that is on the table for you. Let's pray. Father, do bless and keep us in your care as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.